And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
That's Patrick who's singing that. An original. If you haven't heard the podcast where he actually does that, it really...
Number six.
Podcast number six. Number you six. Knew that off the top of your head.
Of course head. He did.
My favorite one. It really is my favorite about. One.
Because, what are we, episode 42, yeah. something like that right now? 41, 42? 42.
Or like, hey man, can you make us 41. A song? He goes, I can make you a song. Can you do it right now?
Why not? Let's try it.
And since we're kind of in the podcast thing, I do want to get out the sponsor. Our sponsor this week is Outdoor Hands Skin Therapy Cream. We've talked about it before many, 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 many times. Outdoor Hands actually works on everything. Your hands, your feet, your heels, anywhere on your entire body that you've got dry, cracked skin. You just put some Outdoor Hands on it, do it daily, and you'll notice a difference after several applications. You'll be like, wait a minute, I'm smooth now. Outdoor Hands, pick some up today. Your skin will thank you.
Yeah.
It was good.
I'll tell you my three favorite podcasts. That one, the one with JR and Eddie. We talked
yes.
about radio people.
What episode was that?
Number four, maybe? Right around there.
I love the one where we just talk about radio people.
That was great. And then the one with the three guys from Sullivan and Sons.
Yeah, it was funny.
That was a great one, too. I enjoyed hysterical. Last week's with Henry Cho. Very that was good. Fun, too. I mean, every week it's like it's always something different. I mean, I even enjoyed during the Malaysian airliner going missing thing. We had our buddy in who is he's a pilot for one of the major airlines, and we talked all about it. I mean, it was cool because again, that's the beautiful thing about the podcast is we can talk about whatever we want. And
that's too serious for my taste. I prefer the comedians telling jokes.
Still have not found that airline. Da, da, da. Still have not found Malaysian Airlines.
Well, I'm going to throw another one out at you. By the way, they still have not buried Casey Kasem.
Where's he? Yeah.
You guys didn't know that?
He's still out.
Yep, yeah, that's insane weird. To me. He's been dead for months, and the family is still feuding over who gets the right to decide where he's buried.
Mm-mm-mm.
That is sad. Let me tell you something. If my family ever were to get in that kind of situation, I would be disgusted. I would be looking down, hopefully from heaven, and say, you know what? Get it together, guys. I'm gone. Remember me and bury me.
Please remember me.
All right. Well, I have to go meet with the life insurance guy.
Oh, is that who that was that walked in?
Yeah, so I have to
I couldn't
go.
Tell who it was. I just saw somebody walk in and
speaking
go
of,
the green
speaking
room.
Of being dead.
What's that about?
I've been putting it off for months to meet with the life insurance guy about
that's
buying
true.
Some life insurance.
And you know what? He sent me some emails, and I forgot to reply back.
And
you
didn't reply back because
it's not like
I'm really bad about filling out paperwork.
I really am.
I don't want to do that thing that we were talking about.
Buy life insurance?
No, that whole thing with the company, us and the company and all.
All right.
I don't even remember.
It's
what
your business, man.
I don't even remember what you're talking about. Oh, well, like who gets it?
Yeah,
if one of us
do
dies.
Whole,
yeah,
like, we met with our financial people and we met with our business people.
And the wives, the basically to buy each other's wife out very generously or something like that. I don't even remember. I'll let you guys fight over it if I'm gone.
Yeah,
I think that's much more fun.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm worried about, though, is being in a situation
Dude,
where...
if I've learned anything from Casey Kasem's family, is that if I want people to keep talking about me after I'm dead, let them keep arguing.
It's just another thing. All of a sudden, it's just more money. We're like, what are we doing? Well, you got to pay, you know, do this. It's $55 a month. It's $130 a month. It's this and that. Jeez, forget it.
Oh, look at this. Speaking of, I'm going to change gears here. Chris Peterson, ring a bell?
Nope.
Chris Peterson used to work with Elvis and Glenn Beck and some of those guys.
Chris Peterson.
Dude, no, we hung out with Chris. Chris was helping us out. When we went to the Z100 thing in New York and we were doing the whole thing and they were showing us around and we got to hang out with all the interns.
No idea what
Chris
you're
was
about.
The guy. Oh, Chris is like one of Elvis's right-hand guys. He left the show. I didn't know that. And he's now the programming partnership manger.
Manger? He's a
manger?
You
might want to point out when you say Elvis that you don't mean Elvis.
Yeah, no, not that. I'm talking about Elvis Duran, a radio friend of ours. No, it says he's the TuneIn Programming Partnership Manger. I think I'm going to let him know that it's manager. I hope.
Sure, it's
I
not
hope,
manger.
I hope he's not the,
he's
manger.
The manger.
Are you alive?
It is almost Christmas
guy?
Time.
Chris. Who are you? Are you one of the wise men?
Chris, please send me some frankincense.
By the way, I was going to make a frankincense and myrrh candle. It smells like cheap, cheap hotel soap. It's
really?
Awful.
Really?
I was like, this is what we gave baby Jesus because it's terrible.
Well, think about 2,000 years ago, you know, those they didn't have that smell. That was the clean smell was something very rare.
It, you know what? Honestly, no kidding. It smells like the shampoo you use on your dog, that kind of medicine-y, funky, soapy thing.
Yeah.
That's what frankincense and myrrh smells like. So this Christmas, when you're talking about baby Jesus, and that's great, just remember frankincense and myrrh.
It smells like cheap hotel soap.
Smells like pet wash.
Well, thankfully, they brought him gold, too.
Frankincense and myrrh. Did they?
Yeah, wasn't it gold, frankincense, and myrrh?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I was going to make a candle of that, and it's awful.
You know what I want to see? I'm going to stay on the biblical thing here. I want to see that new Moses movie.
Yeah, me too.
That looks so awesome.
You know, all that stuff's done with, they didn't use a lot of CGI. They used some, but they used, like when you see like all the people.
Well, that's Ridley.
And animals.
It's Ridley Scott. That's his thing. That's, you know, he's the one who did Black Hawk Down. He's the guy who did Kingdom of Heaven, which is like the knights, the Templars, and the Muslims fighting and all that. It was crazy. And that was done the same way. Not a lot of, if I'm not mistaken, no CGI. And it was all, you know, people. And that's how this is going to be?
Yeah. Except for, you know, they couldn't really do the whole Red Sea, you know, thing.
Crashing down upon them.
But yeah, it's tons of thousands of animals and camels and goats and chickens.
That's cool.
I think it's cool, too. I like that.
Yeah. I like Ridley Scott movies. I really do. I wanted to see that one. It was like the follow-up or prequel or something like that to Aliens. Remember the one they went to that planet?
I didn't watch that. I kind of got lost in the old, like, I saw the first one, and then after that, all of them kind of melded into this weird memory of mine. I don't remember much of it.
Moses movie. I want to get the name of it. Exodus, Gods and Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be good, dude.
Kind of the same thing with the Halloween movies.
Really?
Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah. Like all of them?
Yeah.
I'm looking at this. Hold on one sec. Is it Christian Bale? Yeah, Christian Bale and Sigourney Weaver. Dude, he's bringing back Ripley?
Ridley.
Yeah. Was it Ripley or Ridley?
I don't know.
I know you messed with me. I'm going to have to go to IMDb and look it up. We are going to tell you right now, we have something very cool at the end of this podcast. We did it a couple weeks ago where we included one of our songwriter spotlights, and we're going to do it again. It's fascinating to hear the songwriter tell the story of the songs from their own voice. And we're talking about a songwriter who has written for everyone. You can literally go to Wikipedia right now and you can search for Shane McAnally and then look under songs and you'd be like, holy cow, how does one person not only write all those songs, but it was Ripley, by the way. How do they have that in them? You know what I mean? Like when you think about Mama's Broken Heart, Miranda Lambert, which he wrote, co-wrote, how does a guy write that song?
Well, he's really good at what he does, man.
Why are you yawning?
I'm tired, man. Tired. You know, we bought that, what do you call it, memory foam thing?
Mm-hmm.
I said, hold it forever. It's held up for a while, man. But after, what, 8-9 years, on my side, it's kind of like got like a little bowl.
It's dipping?
It's got a little dip. Like, it doesn't dip when it just kind of rebounds, but as soon as you put any pressure on it, it goes instant bowl. It's kind of bugging my back a little bit. And
Stacey wants a new mattress, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to spend all, because mattresses are expensive.
What do y'all have now?
We have, like, the traditional, you know, spring whatever, but it's like a really expensive
one. Is it real firm? You have a pillow top
thing? Yeah.
Yeah, I like those.
You know, it's not, I like it, but she's like, oh, it's messing up my back. She wants the memory foam deal.
Yeah, it's nice. Or
whatever it's called. What is it?
I don't know.
It's your bed and you don't even know.
I don't know. But mine has where you can bring the legs up and the back up. The whole thing shakes. It vibrates.
Really?
Yeah. Makes your nose itch.
I need that.
It's not all that, man. Yeah, it's not.
Really?
No. Because it's two pieces put together to make a king. I don't know what.
Oh, so there's like a little gap, like a little space in between them?
Yeah. And so,
ever so small, but it's there.
And as soon as you put your leg or foot or hand on there and you any kind of pressure, it like separates and you like fall into it.
That stinks.
Nah, anyway, so it's not super sexy, if that's what you're trying to get at, which I think it was.
No, not me. All right. Well, what do you want to talk about? Do we have anything to cover? I mean, this week has been a blur. We had a great weekend last weekend. Patrick did his very first ever stand-up comedy routine on stage.
We
partnered up with Walker McGuire and Killer Bees. We did a show in Baton Rouge. It was crazy awesome. I mean, every single person that was there was like, man, if you guys do this again, we're in.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Everyone loved it. I was looking at the audience, and everyone was like, they were just really into it.
Yeah, Big D actually called me aside. We're backstage at the time, and Patrick's doing his set, and he pulled me over and goes, look at this, man. He's like, everybody's loving it.
Yeah.
Like, you were shocked. Everybody's loving this. Holy cow, they like it.
What?
Yeah, it was just different. I mean, you don't think about doing an acoustic concert and two comedians. And you don't think that it would work, but it did. You know, the comedy was like the kickoff, and then the music filled the room up after, and everybody was just into it.
And Killer was back there backstage with me watching Patrick, and he goes, man, he's killing it, and he's doing great. Look at him. I go, yeah. He goes, well, I didn't want to say anything, but I wanted this to be kind of like his audition, because I want him to go on the road with me. I want him to open up for me. I was like, whoa, what?
How cool is that? So now Patrick is going to be opening up a show next weekend, right? Or like in 2 weeks.
I don't know.
The week after Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. He's going to be opening up for Killer Bees on the road.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
In your hometown, Cookeville, Tennessee.
Killer was great, too. He's hilarious. The Walker McGuire, they did awesome. And it was just fun. We had a good time.
I went down. It was at a casino, so I went down to the tables. I don't gamble, and I had a great time. It was cool because a lot of the fans from the show, after the whole thing was done, they were like, "What are you guys doing now?" We're like, "We're gonna go grab a bite to eat down at the little restaurant, and then we're gonna go, you know, play some cards." And so they hung out with us the whole time. So literally the entire time we're hanging out at the tables and we're doing it, we're all gambling together with all these people that listen to the show. And it was fun bonding time. I know it sounds silly, but like we talked about it before, you know, being on the radio, we're not celebrities. We are we're the middlemen between you and the celebrity sometimes. And it's cool because we kind of sometimes get to live their life. But we're just regular dudes. And this was our little moment of really bridging that gap because it was fun to be able to, you know, they felt like they were hanging out with a celebrity. And I was just happy to be hanging out with regular people that didn't treat us like goobers. You know, in radio, it's weird. People either treat you really good or they treat you like, you know, oh, you're the radio guys.
Well, and it because was just, so many radio people are goobers.
I didn't want to say douches because there are a lot of those.
They just are. And
people that are so into themselves.
It's just, I hate it.
I apologize from us for them, whoever they may be. If you've ever met a person in radio who is just that person who just thinks they're all that and their stuff don't stink, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for them.
I find that there's two camps. There are people in radio people. There are two camps. There are people who try too hard. And there are people who don't try hard enough. And the ones who try too hard are those ones who are very used car salesman-y.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get a kind of a
little dirty vibe off
kind
of
a weird, everything's kind of forced.
Yeah. They're just skeezy.
It's just awkward. They don't really do anything wrong. It's just you get kind of a weird vibe. And this is about people. This is about anybody besides just radio people. And then you have people who don't try hard enough. It's the people who show up and feel that they don't need to, people should come to them.
They're entitled.
They're entitled, and they feel that they are a celebrity. They think that they are on the same
They think level. They think that they just because they have Luke Bryan's phone number that you should treat them like they're a magical unicorn.
And that's the other ones. And those are usually your syndicated guys. Those are your guys who are, you know, higher up. Maybe they're in a large market and they've been there for a while and they've had some success. And they're around a lot of people who tell them they're great. And a lot of times they are talented, but that doesn't give you the right to act like Bill Cosby. It doesn't give you the right to act like you are, you know, all that. By the way, the stuff with Bill Cosby is I'm quickly turning on the
guilty
Bill Cosby wagon.
Again, it's one of those things where he's never going to live this down, for one, but he's going to be on the defense for the rest of his life. Even though it's past the statute of limitations, the fact that the allegations are out there and there are so many of them and they're so similar, and a lot of people go, oh yeah, but they're similar because the first person said it and everybody else copied.
These allegations have been around for years.
Yeah, this isn't new.
And they kind of died away. And do you remember the girl? She was like, I had his child. And that kind of died away.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. And so what really
did
gets
she really
me,
have his kid?
I don't know. It died away. I mean, it was there, and then no one stays up with this stuff unless you're in the inside of it. You don't really know, and we need to remember that. We don't really know either one way or the other. I'm just saying my personal feelings. What really stuck to me is that reporter that I was telling you about who did that interview with him, mm-hmm. From the New York Times, and she said she walks in. He doesn't say hello. He doesn't greet her, doesn't say hi, doesn't shake her hand. He says, I don't pose. Meaning I don't pose for pictures. And so she says, okay. And no problem. He says, we'll see how this goes. You ask a question. If it goes well, we'll keep going. If it doesn't, I'll give you a piece of fruit over here, a pear or an apple, and I'll send you on your way. She said he was awful. He was mean.
Like gruff.
Gruff. He didn't smile. That look that you see on all of the... anything that says Bill Cosby lately, this past week, has been that same picture of him looking all, you know, mean and grumpy.
Yeah.
But she said, we did the interview. It was awful. But he's one of the most awkward celebrity interviews she's ever done. She's done hundreds of them. And she included some of the weirdness about him in the article because it happened, and she's a reporter. So a week later, she gets a box mailed to her office. Inside is a piece of paper typed three words, here's your apple, signed Bill Cosby. And there's a dead, wrinkled apple wrapped in a paper towel. Who does that? Who goes through all the work to find out who she is, where she was just an AP reporter, finds out where she's at, where she's based in New York, the address. How do you find dead apples? Does he just have a thing of dead apples he can just go to?
He rotates his apple stock. Oh, these are getting old. Put them in the dying semi-decayed box.
It's almost like that that movie Seven with Brad Pitt, where there's like, don't open, what's in the box? And so who goes through all that effort? I mean, that's someone who's very meticulous.
Yeah.
And you can be meticulous. Usually that's in a good way, but you can be meticulous in a bad way.
Yeah. And especially whenever you think about the allegations with the slipping of the pills and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, man. This whole thing is a mess. I hate, first of all, I hate the whole thing if it's true. I hate it because it's just terrible. But I also hate the fact that there's that doubt and there isn't that one smoking gun. There needs to be. Because once you definitively can say he did it or didn't, then we can move on. But it's just like going back to that stupid Malaysian airline. We don't know where it is still. We don't know if it's sitting on an island somewhere. We don't know if it's at the bottom of the ocean somewhere. We all have our opinion of where it is. But until we have that decisive, you know, here's what is real, then we're stuck in this weird little space of limbo where you go, I don't know, you know. And bottom line is, Bill Cosby means nothing to me, so I can wash my hands of this and walk away whenever it's done. However, if it is real, then obviously my heart goes out to the victims, the many victims if, again, the allegations are true. It's sad.
I went and saw him one time.
Did you?
Yeah. I laughed hard. It was a good show. He did the whole thing, you know, the being a dad and brought you in the world to take you out kind of deal.
Classic.
He did it, did the whole thing, and like it was the first time he ever did it, and it was just as funny, maybe funnier. You know, because you kind of knew it was coming, but you still laughed.
Yeah. And that's funny, too. You mentioned that. Going back to the comedian thing, it's interesting because I've seen Killer Bees several times, but there's something about seeing somebody that you have seen before. It's like listening to a band live. You know, they're about to hit a certain note, so you kind of build yourself up for it. There was a great punchline about him talking about the Tempur-Pedic type beds. And I knew it was coming, and I don't think you had ever heard him tell this joke. So I was laughing knowing the reaction you were going to get. And it was really good. Swan Brothers this week were amazing. If you have not, if you missed them on the show and you haven't heard them do their thing live, I urge you to go to our website or Facebook and watch the videos. We have videos of them doing Pray For You live and Run Rudolph Run, or Run Run Rudolph. And those are there at BigDandBubba.com and on our Facebook page. We've got Pray For You, and I think we'll post the Christmas one maybe on Black Friday.
Yeah, I was just realizing that the TV show Nashville,
mm-hmm.
at the CMA Awards, they were filming. And they were, like, in commercial break, they were doing stuff like with the band Perry and stuff.
Oh. Oh, that's smart, because then you don't have to build sets for it. You can just use the real CMAs, CMA Awards, as the backdrop.
Yeah.
And that's brilliant.
At least it sure looks like that's what they're doing, man. Hmm. I was watching on Facebook. That's right. I'm listening to you and on Facebook.
That's what I've been doing. I think that's what we all do nowadays. We do two and three things at a time, which I have a problem with, because when I go home and I'm trying to talk to my daughter, I can't anymore. I'll sit there and we'll have this great conversation, and I'll ask her a question and she won't answer. Ask her a question, she won't answer, and I look in the mirror and she's sitting there with her headphones in. Yeah. And I'm like, I thought we just had a moment, and we didn't. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Iggy Azalea, hello? Hello, Iggy?
You're the same way. You had your headphones in growing up.
I probably did. That's why I can't hear now. All right, you ready for the songwriter spotlight?
No, oh, what a treat this guy is, man. We had so much fun getting behind the scenes, hearing the songs, the stories behind the songs of huge hit songs, number one after number one after number one.
Well, you know, you're saying all this, but we're about to say all the same stuff once we start the interview.
I'll just stop talking.
So we'll be quiet now and give you another taste of our songwriter spotlight until next week. Remember to pick up some outdoor hand skin therapy cream. It works on your hands, your feet, your heels, anywhere that you've got dry, cracked skin. Pick some outdoor hands up today. Your skin will thank you.
Hey, in the studio with us is Shane McAnally. He is a very talented songwriter, all part of our singer-songwriter. What are we calling this again?
The Songwriter Showcase, right? Spotlight. Yeah, see?
Yeah.
You made that up just now.
You made it up. It's, you know.
It's okay.
Yeah. Songwriter Showcase.
All right. Spotlight.
Spotlight.
Showcase. It's the spotlight.
I really wish that we were professional, Shane.
I really wish there was an actual spotlight on me. There
are. We could do that. We could put a spotlight on you.
Turn that light right there on you.
I guess I could.
I will just hold my phone up and put it on.
I would be blue.
All right, let me go through just a few.
there you go. Now you've got a spotlight on you.
Oh, wow.
Let me just give you couple of songs that Shane has been responsible for. Can
just
I do this
couple.
For you? From Kenny Chesney, Somewhere With You, Come Over, American Kids, Luke Bryan's Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye, Miranda's Mama's Broken Heart, Jake Owen Alone With You, Chris Young's Neon, Better Dig 2, and Chainsaw from the Band Perry, Downtown Lady A, Leave the Night On from Sam Hunt, Drunk Americans of the New Toby, Casey Musgraves, Merry Go Round, and about nine songs off that album.
You know,
from
what's weird,
trailer,
though,
different
is,
part.
I know you're sitting here reading off these and going, yeah, he wrote this. But, like, especially, like, with Miranda, with Mama's Broken Heart, for some reason, I just felt like she wrote that in my heart, because it sounds like it's so sincere when she sings it.
She's so good at that. I mean, that's sort of the brilliance of someone who also writes songs, because she's such a good writer. And in the, you know, the sort of rarity of her cutting an outside song, she has to find stuff outside, by outside, I mean, you know, that someone else wrote it. She has to find stuff that sounds like it just fits right in with her records and stuff. And the way she recorded it is very different than the way, like when we actually cut that song on Casey Musgraves first, and it was a completely different take. When you hear Miranda's, you can't imagine it ever have been. Well,
grab
been
the guitar. Grab the guitar. I would like to hear what the original idea was. Well, wouldn't this be kind of cool? Shane's like, I don't want to do this.
I mean, I certainly can't really. You know what happened was the I don't want to knock this over. I'm going to pull this mic forward.
Okay.
What happened was the I wrote that with Casey and Brandy Clark, and I had been telling them about my sister was going through a breakup at the time, and she was being real crazy. Just, you know, I mean, literally cutting her hair and doing all the stuff in the song and just being nuts.
The stuff that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And my mom was sort of through with her, like done with the whole thing. Like, please pull it together. I'm tired of hearing about it. This is embarrassing. And I was telling Casey and Brandy, because my mom, my sister and I are very close, and I'm always sort of in the middle of this kind of thing. And so I was telling Brandy and Casey, I said, God, I mean, they are really, it's a moment here. You know, I said, and they both were like, that's just moms and daughters. That's just how they are. Moms just have been through it. And they're kind of like, look, you got to, you know, just
pick yourself up.
Exactly. And fix your makeup. And we just kind of, that's where it started, was that conversation. And I probably don't even remember the difference in the way that it was played, because it was just very simple. Like, is my guitar, let me see here.
Or is it even on?
I got it plugged in. Hang on one sec.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we should have tested that.
Yeah.
There we go. But anyway, so we wrote it just very simply, like on just guitar. It was like, I cut my bangs with some rusty kitchen scissors. I screamed his name till the neighbors called the cops. I numbed the pain at the expense of my liver. I don't know what I did next. All I know is I couldn't stop. Word got around to the barflies and the Baptists. My mama's phone started ringing off the hook. I can hear her now saying she ain't gonna have. Don't matter how you feel, it only matters how you look. Go and fix your makeup, girl, it's just a breakup. Run and hide your crazy and start acting like a lady. Cause I raised you better, gotta keep it together even when you fall apart. But this ain't my mama's broken. So anyway, it had sort of more of a...
It's a Twin Peaksy, Chris Isaac kind of haunting
exactly,
thing.
Exactly. And Casey even took it home that night with just our little guitar vocal from the room we were riding in. And she knows all this crazy stuff on GarageBand, and she found all this crazy like sitar sound. It had this very European thing with all these hand claps. And so, you know, it took on a life of its own in that regard. And then Miranda heard it. And her and her producer, you know, Frank Liddell and Chuck Ainley, they had this idea of how to really put it in her world.
Yeah.
It was one of those times where when we went in to hear the cut of the song, we were surprised at every turn. It was like that everything was different.
We're just talking about one song, and you've got a billion.
Well, I'm pretty great.
All right, we're going to come right back. It is our songwriter spotlight, Shane McAnally.
Maybe Jake Owen. A lot of people love Jake Owen, Alone With You. Cool story about that song?
Yeah, you know, let me think about the way that Jake first heard that. I was coming off of my first number one was with Kenny Chesney, Somewhere With You, and it was a very different sound for Kenny specifically, but it was sort of a new thing for country radio at that time. It was just kind of moody and dark, mm-hmm. and it kind of put the guy in a vulnerable position, you know, and as opposed to the female who's always sort of like, you know, why aren't you calling back, or, you know, why don't I hear from you? And I was actually riding with Jake, and it was it's sort of a nerve-wracking thing when you're first getting the opportunity to write with artists, because you want to go in and just be great. You want to be like, you know, usually you get one shot and you want to go in there and just like dazzle them so that they want to write with you again. And that was one of my first co-writes with a big artist. And we were writing the song, and at one point he said, you know, I wish I had a song like Somewhere With You. And actually he said, dude, I really need a song like Somewhere With You.
And, so you decided to change out the first word?
That's what I said. I said, well, there's a song that you have had on and off hold for about 3 months that's almost just like it, except it's called Alone With You. And he goes, yeah, I mean, I really like that song, but, you know, that I can't hear a guy singing it. I don't know why you had a girl sing the demo. And I said, well, actually, that's me singing the demo.
Oh, no! Dude!
Oh, yes.
And then just out of feeling bad that he said that, he was like, oh, well, maybe I need to listen to it.
I'm going
to
cut this one now.
Can we hear your girl voice?
I don't think it really. I mean, he's, you know, look, I'm a sensitive singer. I have a soft voice.
Actually, that was me.
Don't put your lips up to my mouth and tell me you can't stay. Don't slip your hand under my shirt and tell me it's okay. Say it doesn't matter. See, you can see how it could get confusing.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I like that though. I like that.
You know, I am a. I love Kacey Musgraves. She's probably my. Man, she's my favorite female artist.
Every
probably.
Time Big D tweets that he's listening to music, it's always, you know, that always, album.
Yeah. Well,
something.
I love.
That
I feel the same about her. I love her so much.
Merry Go Round, a huge song. You know, that of course won the CMA Awards, and a song that you. Co-wrote, I guess?
Yeah, we wrote that together. Actually, we were in Texas a couple years ago before Kacey had finished her record. And we were near my hometown. I'm from Mineral Wells, Texas, and there's a place near there, Strawn, Texas. A friend of mine has a ranch out there. And we decided to take like a little trip out there and really focus on writing. It was Brandy Clark and Kacey and Josh Osborne and Luke Laird. And myself, and what we would do is we split off into groups every day. And prior to us going out there, we had went to my folks' house in Mineral Wells. It was July 4th, and my mom is a character. I mean, we talked about Mama's broken heart and how that sort of inspired her. Inspired me. She does that a lot. If she tries to give me a song idea, it's never good. But just in life,
they're great.
They're great. So this is a great example. Merry-go-round. So. There was a bunch of traffic at the neighbor's house. There was just a ton of cars down there going, coming and going. And Josh Osborne said to my mom, why are there so many cars at your neighbor's house? And my mom, very frustrated, said, I don't know, Josh. They're selling Mary Kay or Mary Jane or something down there.
That's all it took.
And it was just that light bulb moment. We actually thought it was going to be a funny song. You know, it was like, how do we, there's so many different takes on the word Mary.
Right.
You know, and we went through a million of them, you know, ones that didn't end up making it, like Merry Christmas. And I mean, just there's very many ways to use that word. And when we were telling Kacey how cool we thought it could be, she just heard it a different way, thank goodness, and just said, you know, that is sort of the small town idea. It's like, it's Mary Kay, it's Mary Jane, you know.
It's Mary.
Yeah, I mean, and then ultimately Mary, who kind of represents just the girl down the street, you know, and she said such a great thing because, you know, radio was at times a bit, they were standoffish with that song because there's no redemption in it. You don't come around at the end and say, everybody's happy and Mary met, you know, right. John or whatever. Yeah. And somebody said, oh, I get it. That's the anti-small town song. And Kacey said, no, it's the anti-small mind song. Ooh. And I just thought, God, it was so perfectly put because the truth was we all came, Josh, Kacey, and myself that ended up writing that together. We all came from different places but similar towns where the pattern and the routine of that is something that sometimes people don't even know there's anything else out there. And it also is fine with a lot of people. And I think the story and the point was that wouldn't have worked for us. But it, you know, it kind of, it's the, like, again, like that, it's like the world drops off at the end of town, you know, and just being able to see beyond that, you know, I don't know. I just thought that was such a cool way to put it because it is just saying there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that sometimes the life of that and going through the patterns of families and small towns and the things that, you know, that they don't even realize there's more sometimes, mm-hmm. you know?
Shane McAnally is our guest, the Songwriter Spotlight. We'll come back and, hey, can you do like a
montage?
Can you do like a medley? Can you do like a Vegas medley?
Oh my God.
I mean, we can make this whole thing. Just kind of think about it. Like, think of the songs that might be in the same key, and we'll do those. And then midway, you could change key and do the other ones.
All right, we'll take a break. Let you do that.
The challenge
this
is on.
Like a, it's like a game show.
I am scared about this.
All right. It's a Songwriter Spotlight. Shane McAnally, who has written
countless
lot of stuff. Mama's Broken Heart, Alone With You, Neon, Better Dig 2, Downtown, Leave the Night On.
Come Over.
About every Casey Musgrave song.
Come Over is just such a great song.
American
and people
Kids.
Had actually requested it as the booty call song.
Well, thank goodness that's how they heard it.
hey, can you do, before the break, we ask if you could do like a Las Vegas medley
yes.
of some of these things. Well, I know this is not going to be the easiest thing in the world for you to do, but can you try this?
Here's what, so this may be a technical term for a lot of people, but so I play with a capo, which allows me, a non great guitar player, to sort of play in different keys.
Okay.
So I am gonna.
You're gonna wing
I'm gonna
this.
Wing this. I've never. I mean, guys, this is gonna be fun. We'll just see. Ooh, maybe we should try to do an actual booty call medley. Okay.
If you're going out with someone new, I'm going out with someone too. I won't feel sorry for me. I'm getting drunk, but I'd much rather be somewhere with you, laughing loud on a carnival ride. Yeah, driving around on a Saturday night. You made fun of me singing my song, got a hotel room to turn you on. You said pick me up at 3 a.m. You've been fighting with your mom again, and I'd go somewhere with you. Yeah, somewhere with you.
We have an ejection button.
Did that feel?
Oh, seamless. Is this another song or something? I didn't even know.
Turn the TV off and turn it on again. Staring at the blades of the fan as it spins around. You can almost not even tell. Counting every crack. The clock is wide awake. Talking to myself. Anything to make a sound. I told you I wouldn't call. I told you I wouldn't care, but baby, climbing the walls gets me nowhere. Don't think that I can take this bed getting any colder. Come over, come over, come over, come over, come over. I'm
sorry. Do you feel sillier?
Wait, I'm just trying to think.
All we do right is make love.
Oh, listen to that. There's good, that's good.
We both know now that ain't enough.
It's like almost the same song.
Oh my gosh, you're so good at this.
Ain't gonna beg you to stay, ain't gotta ask you what's wrong. Ain't no reason running after something already gone. Take off your leaving dress, let's do what we do best. I guess everybody's got their way of moving on. Girl, rest your head one more time in my bed. Love me like you love me when you love me and you didn't have to try. Let's lay down tonight and kiss tomorrow goodbye.
And this medley. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And I was losing my headphones.
That was awesome.
I'm sweating one, guys. I hope to God
really
Luke Bryan or Kenny Chesney never hear.
Are you really embarrassed by that?
Oh, no, so I'm being silly.
It's cool. It's awesome. It's fun. I mean, again, we could go on and on and on with the hits that you have really generated for all of our favorite artists. I mean, you can name anybody and you've got a song in their album. So
yeah, pretty much.
Well, thank you for playing them, guys.
I
very
think it's
much.
Cool to have you in here and kind of, you know, like we did a little behind the scenes, some stories and all that. And the medley, that was a fail.
It was not. I'm not going to be pitching that medley to anyone.
artists.
Hey, Garth, I have this medley. I've been waiting for your return, and here you are, and here's your medley.
I feel like I should try to work out a little medley of booty call songs. That seems to have worked for me, so maybe I need to do that.
Dude, it was fun. It was absolutely fun.
Oh, thanks.
I know people listening right now, our 17 listeners are glued. They're like, this is great.
Well, I'm positive you lost a couple on that one.
Shane McAnally. Thank you, Shane, for coming in. We appreciate it, man.
How do people follow you on Twitter, Facebook, and all that?
It's Shane McAnally on Twitter. Shane McAnally. And on Facebook, I just have a personal Facebook, and then
so just tweet
you. On Instagram too. It's Shane McAnally. So.
Okay. Tweet you on Instagram. There you go.
There you go. Songwriter Spotlight. You can read more about him online. Also, BigDandBubba.com.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.